On the go? Take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron.
308, welcome back. We will have full and extensive coverage of the federal budget when that drops at 4 p.m. The finance minister and the deputy prime minister, Chrystia Freeland, is expected to step up to the mic and to deliver the budget. And we've got Vashi Kapelos on television. We've got Josh Pringle on our behalf of CTV Ottawa in the lockup. Austin Lee is also there. And we've got plenty of guests on our roster lined up to unpack whatever is delivered in under an hour from now. But at the moment, we're just waiting. We're in a holding pattern right now. It's 11 degrees outside. It's a beautiful day in the Byward Market. Actually, up to 12 degrees now. And we're going to have a bit of fun with Dan Riskin. Artificial intelligence is very impressive. It is a game changer, no doubt. ChatGPT has read the entire internet. So, Chris, I get the excitement, and I also understand the hesitation from people, the fear on how it will be utilized and how it could change our world. But I'll tell you what, I'm not exactly in the AI is going to take all of our jobs camp just yet. Because of stories like the next one, artificial intelligence is incredible. It is remarkable. But as it stands right now, it needs human beings to make it work. It's not perfect. Take this story about the Washington State Lottery, which was forced to take down a promotional AI-powered web app after there was a woman who used the site and it generated an image of her face on the body of a topless woman. It was supposed to be showing visitors various dream vacations and things that they could pay for if they won the lottery, and it showed her that.
Whoops.
Whoopsies. Dan Riskin joins us now, CTV's science and technology specialist. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hello. This is a fun one, isn't it?
Well, maybe that's what she was doing to celebrate after she won the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, everybody celebrates winning the lottery their own special way.
And I don't know.
I have no problem with that. But that isn't what was happening. This poor person. So she's a woman who lives in Washington State. She visited the website of the Washington State Lottery, and they have this thing on their website, which they don't have on the website now, I'll tell you. But they did then, and it was called Test Drive a Win. And the idea is, hey, if you win this money, what would it be like to spend it? How about a dream vacation? And so you go to the website, and you throw a virtual dart at a dartboard, and it hits some dream vacation from a pre-selected bunch of vacations. They have like a rodeo you could go to. They have like, I think there was some like bungee jumping, and there was like a safari, and there's running with the bulls and all these other things. And when your dart hits, you're invited to upload a picture of your own face. And then what it'll do is it'll use AI to create an image of you having that experience. And it was built very carefully with guardrails in place, and it's only supposed to select from a certain database of ideas. It's not like go wild. It's not like you come up with an idea for what you would spend the money on and you try to trick the AI into making an image that would be untoward. No, she just picked the, you know, she threw the virtual dart. It said swimming with sharks. So she said, okay, great. Here's my picture. And then the picture that came back wasn't someone in a shark cage with sharks all around or someone swimming with sharks. It was a topless woman on a bed with a bunch of fish swimming in the midair around her and some aquariums in the background. And that's
what on
not
earth?
Yeah, exactly. So she complained, but she didn't complain straight to the lottery. She went on talk radio first and in Washington State, and then the lottery heard about it. They took down the whole website. So they're in damage control right now. They're saying they don't understand how this could have happened. They have guardrails in place. They can't replicate this problem. Part of the problem is they don't have a log of all the images that have been created by the website. It sort of creates them and then just lets them go rather than keeping a copy of all of them, which maybe would have been a better idea. So they don't have proof as to whether this really did happen. There's some question as to whether she might have made this up, but they're not saying that. They're just saying, we want to place better safe than sorry. We're taking down the whole website, and we apologize for any confusion. That's kind of what they're saying.
Maybe when you win the lottery, you just want to get naked. I don't know.
Yeah,
but in all seriousness, sure. Dan, I'm being cheeky here, as was AI. This is really violating suddenly seeing your face on a naked body, and it was not the intent of the AI machine that they were using. So in future, maybe we ought to be more careful in how we test drive this thing.
Well, it points to one of the things about AI that makes it so powerful but also unpredictable. And it's kind of the fact that they hallucinate, the fact that they do things you don't expect is part of the magic in them. I'm just right now reading a scientific paper about how you can get AI to help you write better captions for New Yorker cartoon contests, right? So how you can come up with better jokes. And part of the reason that AI really does help with that is that it thinks outside the box. It doesn't think like a human. It comes up with crazy ideas. But the problem with that is that every once in a while it does something that every human would know is a bad idea. Like, clearly it's a bad idea to make this kind of an image when somebody's asking for swimming with sharks. But AI, every once in a while, will try something new. And, sometimes it's genius and sometimes it's, well, I don't know what you were thinking there, but when a human organization or a human being is responsible for that content, then it can be kind of risky to put your neck out like that. So, I guess the lesson is you can use AI to help you, but you need to have a human watching over it to make sure that you've got this thing obeying the rules. If there had been somebody that got to, if you had somebody in a factory somewhere that had to approve the images before they went out, and there was maybe a 5 second delay as a result of that, this whole thing would have been very different.
I think most parents are firmly entrenched in the belief that they want to chat and to interact socially with their babies early on because they know that those early social moments with baby can be very impactful later on. But you've got another story that you're going to tell us about, a new study that shows what happens with a 5-month-old baby when you talk to your son or your daughter.
Yeah, this is really cool stuff. I mean, one of the funny things about humans is the way we talk to babies. Like, we all talk like bumbling idiots when a baby's, oh, look at your little baby, would you? And we all have this dumb way of talking. People do it in every language. When you play a soundtrack of somebody in speaking Swahili talking to a baby versus talking to an adult, a person who does not speak Swahili can tell right away which of those two people that person is talking to. I mean, it's a universal part of humanity that we talk to babies in a funny way. It's called parent ease. And that way of talking to babies stimulates their brains. So, for this latest study, they put kids, cute little 5-month-old babies, in this brain scanner thing that's super cute. Like, they're sitting in a chair, and this thing descends down to their head and sort of sits like a giant hat that's on their head. And they can look out and they can interact with the world, and they're sitting comfortably. But it's reading sort of what's going on with their brains using these powerful magnets. And they had a parent or a caregiver sit in front of the baby and go, oh, look at your little baby, and talk to the baby and go back and forth with them. And then for the other treatment, they had that same parent just as close, but turned to the side and talking to another adult. So they're still close to the parent and you're still having an interaction, but it's not the same. And then they looked at the brain activity. And you're not going to be surprised, but the brain lights up when the parent is talking to the kid with this parent ease much more than when the parent's talking to someone else. And what's really cool is that when they followed up with these same babies over the next 2 years or so, they could see that the babies who lit up the most when their parent was talking to them were the ones who had the fastest development in language skills. They were learning words the fastest as they became 2 years old and older. And so this really shows that those moments where you're interacting with a parent and the brain lights up, the more you can make that brain light up, the more you're setting that baby up with skills for their brain to just thrive going forward.
I love listening to your baby voice. That's the highlight of my day today, Dan. But that is a type of speech that they have actually certified as a real language. There was a study back in 2022 where they looked across different cultures. And you're right, the researchers found that even in other cultures and languages, that we all tend to speak in that exaggerated sing-song way to kids. It's this repetitive way that all parents around the world really like to talk to their kids in.
Yeah, and we react. So one of the things that parents do instinctively, and uncles and aunts and other caregivers, grandparents, siblings, anyone who's taking care of a baby, this is another thing you do is when the baby smiles at you smile back. And when that baby makes a funny noise, you might make that same noise back. Child psychologists liken it to playing tennis, where you sort of the baby sends something across the fence to you, and you hit it back. And whatever they send to you, that's what you respond to, and then they respond to that. And that back and forth is so critical to their brain development. And one of the big dangers right now is that a lot of parents, especially tired parents who are sleep deprived and have young babies, they're on their phone. And the phone just pulls them out of that tennis match, and they're not paying attention to their kid the same way. And what this study shows is that those parents who are able to put the phone down and focus on that baby as much as possible really do get dividends in terms of the development of that baby going forward 2 years and presumably farther beyond that.
What did you do with your kids when they were young?
Well, for the first time with my oldest, my son, I mean, I did everything I could and we had the baby talk and all that stuff. And then on the second round, we were surprised by twins. And so that was a whole other thing. And what I really remember about that was that you had to have those interactions in parallel, because it wasn't until they were about 3 years old that they really discovered that each other were people. They sort of were independently having their experience with parents. And so it was twice the work until they were about 3 years old. And then all of a sudden they started interacting with each other and playing with each other. And it was like, oh, thank you. The heavy lifting. I have assistance finally.
Great to hear from you today on this, Dan.
Yeah, enjoy the budget. Have fun with that.
I will. Dan Riskin joining us on the show. I'm not going to do it. I was going to try the baby talk. I can't manage it. He's our science.
You could use a little baby. That's great. I hope that becomes the theme music my segment.
We're going to keep this on a hotkey. He's our science and technology specialist. The time is 3:19 on the show. We have to send it to Hunter Miller, who is standing by. He's in the CTV Traffic and Weather Center. That's the danger, by the way, Chris. Anytime somebody comes on the show, I know you're back there. You're clipping it. He does it to me. Now you're doing it to Dan. Nobody is safe. Hunter.
Thanks, Christy.
On the go? Take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron.
3:24, welcome back. The city of Ottawa is going to host the 2025 Ironman Canada Triathlon in, you guessed it, 2025, as the name might suggest. This is going to be the first full distance Ironman event to be held in our city. And it will be held in the summer, August the 3rd, 2025. We've had Ottawa Race Weekend every single year. We have the huge fall event. The name is escaping me now.
The Army Run.
Thank you, the Army Run. And that's a huge event and it's a boon for our city. And it's so inspiring to go. I used to run, haven't been a runner in a very long time.
Okay.
But I've never participated in either of those events. I've stood at the finish line. I have watched people when they finish the half marathon or the marathon. Mm-hmm. And I've cried because it's so moving. It's so inspiring to see people do that, which is why, Danny, I want to ask you how your training is going for the 2025 triathlon event.
You know that's not happening.
The Ironman. You've got years. You've got years now.
Here's the thing. I am training for the next wiggle waggle walkathon. That's my speed.
Okay.
If you want to see me go through this, sure, I'll do it, but I'm gonna need one heck of a asthma inhaler during the event. I don't know.
Okay, well, first the wiggle waggle walkathon, which I believe is in the fall.
Yes, around September.
Okay. September 2024.
Okay,
wiggle waggle walkathon in support of the Ottawa Humane Society. Next stop, August 2025, triathlon Ironman.
Are you trying to kill me, though?
I like how there's no balance in the middle. It's just zero to 100.
From walking with a dog that might want to walk to...
Do they just give you a dog? You don't own a dog.
No, but some...
Okay.
No.
A girl can always hope.
I mean, I know people who have dogs.
Right.
I can always take Bridget. She's my speed.
She doesn't exactly like to walk.
Exactly. That's why she's my speed.
A bit stubborn.
She's my speed.
2 kilometers maximum.
Oh, her and I will just be sitting in the field.
In the winter, she can make it to our local dog park. It is exactly 1 kilometer from our home. I start my Apple Watch. Uh-huh. Right when we hit the sign and we let her off her leash, it's 1 kilometer. Then it's 1 kilometer home. 2 kilometers max, and that's in the winter. When the temperature surpasses 17 degrees, we're not there today, she can no longer walk to the dog park. Ask me how I know that. Because I have had to many, many times jaunt back home, run, leave Drake at the dog park, and then load her back up into the car. And if you think that's a failing of training, no, it's not.
No.
She's a bull mastiff and she's got a pushed in face. So they tend to have breathing problems and they can overheat very, very easily. And so she looks like she's on the brink of collapsing and she'll just lay down on the ground. We don't take her out when it's really hot, but I'm talking 17, 18 degrees.
Yeah.
It's still too far.
Well, she's a lumpy girl.
She is.
She can't go very far.
No.
But she is a sweet girl.
She's not known for her stunning athleticism.
No.
Okay, so maybe you take my other dog to the Wiggle Waggle Walkathon and then you start training.
No, but Jasper's too fast for me.
Not even the marathon, the triathlon, the Ironman.
Yeah, okay.
3:28 on Ottawa Now. We are about half an hour away now from the federal government and its presentation of the 2024 federal budget. The government has promised billions of dollars in new spending. We haven't learned the entirety of exactly how the money is going to be spent. We know some of the big promises as it pertains to a national school food program, to housing, but how we intend to pay for these promises remains to be seen. The federal finance minister and the deputy prime minister, Chrystia Freeland, has vowed not to grow the deficit and has said that she's going to maintain other fiscal guardrails heading into the budget. There are some strong indications, and there has been some reporting, to suggest that a new tax for the ultra wealthy is on the horizon, or more taxation for big corporations. But the Liberals will unveil whatever they have planned coming up in about half an hour. And whenever it happens, we will bring it to you here, live on the show. 3:29, Time Saver Traffic coming up right after your 3:30 newscast. I could dance, I could
dance, I could dance. Watch me. Welcome back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hey, my question for you today is...
Only one question.
Quick question.
Question of the day on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Would you use a national recycling program for reusable shopping bags? Here's the problem. Admit it. You are a reusable bag hoarder. Everybody is. And that's how we've landed here. Is the answer to the green replacement that we forget in the car, that we forget in the basement, that we eventually accumulate so many of these bags, that we need to recycle them? The thing is, when we replaced the single-use plastic bags, it wasn't that straightforward. It sounded good. But in execution, people forget the bags, and then they don't actually bring their bags in. They just buy more of them, and then they multiply. They're like bunnies. All of a sudden, you've seen exponential growth, and you've got something like 30 or 40 or 50 of these reusable bags. And some people end up using the reusable bags as single-use bags, even though they're not plastic. So now Walmart Canada is rolling out a national pilot project. Under this pilot project, customers would be able to send in their extra reusable blue shopping bags. These are the only ones that come from Walmart, so not from other places, just from them. And it would be a mail-in recycling program through TerraCycle. You'd have to wash them, donate them, but there are many steps involved in this, and maybe that's where it falls apart. You've got to sign up for it. You've got to receive the shipping label. You need to print it off at home. Then you have to drop it off, and it's a lot of steps to return these bags. And I do wonder, if we can't remember to bring them in, are we really going to do this? I spoke to Environmental Defense, and I got their take on this entire thing. Karen Wersig is the plastics program manager, and she was on the show earlier today. She said, this is a start, but it's likely not the entire solution.
We have been calling for retailers to take responsibility for the bags that they're giving out with the groceries. This is sort of maybe a quarter step towards that, I would say. And I guess the issue is, you know, ideally the gold standard in a reuse program is you bring the thing back to where you bought it.
Right.
And that's not what this program does, right?
It's a lot of work. And people generally don't like a lot of work. Let's get to our listeners. Here's listener Victor, who says that he thinks this could be a good idea.
So I would think about doing it. I find it's a great idea. I just find that Walmart should somehow compensate people for it, since we are paying 5 cents for each bag or a dollar, right?
Keep dreaming, my friend. Not going to happen. I see your point, but They're just trying to capitalize on the fact that they recognize people don't have a use for all of these bags. Though some people have written in, Chris, and they've said that they've started to use them as a liner for the trash bin. So in your basement or in your office, in your bathroom, in your kitchen, instead of using a plastic bag or going to the Home Hardware store or Canadian Tire, you just pop one of these in there. I wonder if you reuse it. Probably not. My kitchen gets pretty messy. Nothing in there can be reused.
Why not just put like a regular bag, garbage bag in?
Well, they're saying they do that instead of just throwing it out.
Yeah.
Then I guess it gets two uses, but still, that's not the point.
No.
Then there's listener Catherine, who says that she would take part in a program like this.
Like a drop-off where you can buy them, drop them off. Yeah, sure. That would be rather convenient because I guess like everybody else, I have so many of them, I don't know what to do with them anymore. And of course, I always forget them when I go to the grocery store. So that's the worst of it all. I guess that's why I would consider definitely using a program like that.
I agree. And I think more people would use a program like that. Unfortunately, though, these bags have to be sent in a box or a shipping envelope. So you need 5 of them, and then they send you the free shipping label. So it's not as simple as just dropping it off at the store. If they had a little slot, Danny, when you walked in, you grab your cart and then you drop off your 5 or 6 extra bags, and then maybe they give them out for free to other customers.
Hey.
Who can't afford them.
Yeah. Something.
And I know they're cheap, so you might say, well, who can't afford a reusable bag? It all adds up.
It does. I want to count how many bags I have at home and just how much money I spent.
Do it. That's your homework assignment tonight. I'll do it too.
Okay.
I know I'm worse than you.
I can't remember.
Well, it depends on the bag.
Right.
Okay. Some of them are really fancy.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not all created equal. That's why when people write in and say, well, how many times do you have to reuse the bag so that it can have a smaller footprint than the plastic one? It depends on the quality of the bag. Some of them have plastic in them because they have like a plastic coating on the outside.
Yes.
Some are cotton. Some are even less nice than that. I don't even know what you would call them, but they're pretty flimsy looking.
Yeah. No, I like the days that when you go to Independent and they have those bags, those plastic harder shell bags.
Like the bins?
It's not the bins, but you said the one with the shiny shininess.
I know the ones you mean.
And they have the advertisers pay for them, so they're free to us. And so you just kind of, hey, can I have a couple?
Well, there's everything from nylon to cotton to mesh. The cotton tend to be way more sturdy.
Yes.
Like a cotton tote bag. But if it's small, how much can you really fit in there? I have many of them. I'm pretty good at reusing them, but we have accumulated so many over time. I used to use them as lunch bags, which I don't think made me look very good coming into the office with one of those giant LCBO bags and going to the cottage with the LCBO bag.
Yeah.
That's how we pack for the cottage. We don't have bins. We just put them in the big LCBO bags and we add up.
That's the good stuff. That's worth the money is the cotton stuff.
DJ, who has signed off as the real DJ, as opposed to the fake DJ. I guess we have two of them in the listenership. Writes, why don't they take a 10-cent deposit and return it when you bring it back, like beer bottles? Well, that's what Environmental Defense was saying. They said, why can't the retailers all get together, game it out, come up with a central drop-off location, and then have them recycled there? So it wouldn't matter the color of the bag. Blue from Walmart, red from Shoppers Drug Mart, black from PC, that was the one you just waved at me, right?
Yeah, I have two of them with me because I have a bag full of stuff that is available for your use in case you need it as a host. And then I have
my lunch
bag.
Don't tell them.
Okay.
But I agree with you. Just like beer bottles that get washed and reused over and over, it would make sense to have that at the store. And then that would be kind of nice. Like you have a little bag library and people can take a bag, leave a bag. Like you do with change sometimes.
Oh,
but of course, that would erode the profit margins of the stores that are selling them because people come in and they purchase them for money. So Catherine said she liked it. She thinks it would be better if they were to come up with more of a central drop-off location. Who else do we have here on the text board?
So, if we want to look at what our texters are saying, two camps, obviously, for and against. Most listeners actually said that they're in favor of a program like this, but they'd like to see some changes like incentives included. They paid money for these bags, so they'd like to see a program that maybe mirrors that of the beer store, where you return the beer, or in this case, a bag, and you get some compensation like 10 cents.
But you don't return the beer. You return the bottles.
That's yeah.
You return the beer.
Not the beer,
you're doing
the beer cans. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Or maybe exchange for newer bags, but something that's a give and take. Because again, they did spend money, a lot of money on these bags. And some people, yes, you don't have to buy the bags, but some people feel they need to. So they're left with a mountain of them at home. Then you have others who say, it's just too complicated of a process. If there's a shipping label involved, no thank you.
Texter here said, I'm so aggravated by the entire concept of these reusable bags. I'm not washing them. And the idea to recycle them so they can be used for items is grasping. These are recyclable plastic bags. I have many items in my home. Lawn furniture is one example made out of recycled plastics. So this person is taking issue with that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll just call myself out. I have never once washed any of the bags.
Me neither.
Does that make me gross? If it does, that's the truth. No. I've never, ever washed them. I've wiped them down when I've had produce in there. Because I don't even use the little flimsy things that you put the broccoli in or the various other produce items, you know, the little see-through bags that they give you at the store.
Okay, yeah.
I don't use those. I just put them right in the cart and right on the conveyor belt. Because guess what? I wash my peppers when I get home.
Yes.
I don't just put the food in my mouth. So it doesn't matter if it's been on the conveyor belt or in the cart, and it doesn't need to go in a bag.
No, you don't need a bag. But when it's something like grapes, for example, you kind of need them to be in something or else they're going to fall everywhere.
You throw yours in the washing machine?
Yeah.
Which ones?
The plastic ones. They're like the plastic reusable ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just don't put it on hot there, but you just, I don't know, you.
Cold water, hang to dry?
Yeah.
You're a better man than I am. I don't do it.
I've never heard of this.
I don't do it.
If you don't do that, ew.
I wipe them down.
I wipe them down.
Caleb and Manatic, if we forget our bags, very rare, we just load up the cart with loose items and deal with it at home. That program sounds even more difficult. One more texter here. This is, let's see, who is this? No name on this. So many no names. Please sign your name. Derek, we've lost so many of these reusable bags and we have so many at home that I don't even know how many we have. Sometimes we forget to bring them with us and we go grocery shopping and we add to our collection. Some are even thrown out or used as garbage bags. Chris from Ashton, I'm of the age that was asked about paper or plastic at the checkout because they used to have the paper bags. Stores should just offer paper. It's just another profit that stores are taking money in from the customers. 3:48 on the show. You're my little boo thing, so I'll give a hoot what you do,
say girl, I know you a little too tame. Join the conversation on Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron. Text 580-580 right now.
Have you ever taken a vacation or a trip and then you felt like this afterward?
When I got home and looked at my bank account, I mean, I almost had a heart attack. It was like, wow.
Unfortunately, this wasn't just the outcome of time well spent for this Ontario person, Pat Shacklady. Back in January, she went on a cruise. She was in Antarctica with a friend, which sounds like an incredible journey. But sadly, she got caught up in the crossfire of an unexpected scam. She had pre-booked a taxi through her first destination, which is smart when you're traveling. Sometimes it makes sense to book ahead. Then you don't get scammed. Then you don't climb into the back of a taxi with somebody you're unacquainted with. But ultimately, it ended up with her losing money because she was convinced that the other vehicle had been in an accident and took on a different ride.
So our first stop was in Santiago, Chile for a few days, and that's unfortunately where we got scammed. We had offered to pay them cash. They said that no, unfortunately, cash, they didn't like to have cash in their taxi, so we could pay by credit card.
So sadly, she ended up getting defrauded of a lot of money. It was $7,000 for a short ride in a taxi. She believed at first that it was a conversion, that it was $45,000 or 45,000 Chilean pesos, which is the equivalent of $62 here in Canada. But after getting home, as I mentioned, she looked at her credit card statement and she was hit with a charge of $7,000.
If it was just a couple of hundred dollars, I'd say, you know, I would just figure, oh, well, I've been scammed for that. But when we're talking, you know, almost $7,000, it's a lot of money.
After CTV News reached out to the bank following up on the charges, she was ultimately reimbursed with her money, but it's a cautionary tale of monitoring your credit card closely.
Over the moon, because that's an awful lot of money. Thank you, CTV, for getting involved and taking an interest in helping me with my dispute. It is a huge relief.
You got to watch out for those fraudulent taxi card scanners where they ask for debit payment and they offer cash in return. And what they do is they've got this malicious scanner in the credit card machine, and it is taking your PIN information and it's using it somewhere else. Even worse, typically if they're asking you for cash instead, and the cash that they give you back in return for the scanning of the credit card is often fraudulent. It's often not even real money. 3:57 on the show, we are awaiting the federal budget. It is coming down in a couple of minutes. We'll get the big reveal. We'll get a look at the deficit. We'll get a look at housing. We'll get a look at exactly how they're going to pay for it. And then we'll get tons of reaction lined up on the show. We have home builders in Ottawa. We've got Josh Pringle, who was in the lockup. We've got Pedro Antunes, who's with the Conference Board of Canada. We'll find out if there are any big surprises based on the initial announcements that have been leaked out. Are we on track effectively to manage the deficit? And then later on, we'll get live reaction as well from Canadian businesses. Corinne Coleman is standing by. She's the Executive VP of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business of Advocacy. And she will join us on the show as well. That's all coming up.